We've discussed the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. Was predicted to become an ideal king. And now Suta Goswami is voluntarily bringing up a new topic concerning Vidura and Dhritarashtra. The chapter involves two instructive passages, of course it's all instructions, but two passages of instruction. One from, well, from whom? From whom to whom?
Actually, from Maitreya to Vidura, and then from Vidura onto Dhritarashtra.
Okay, from Vidura to Dhritarashtra, and from who else? Not Maitreya, he doesn't pick, he gets referred to in
I've mentioned
two
he
words, he gets an honorable mention. Yeah. But where is there some extended instruction? From whom to whom? Vidura to Dhritarashtra. That's all anyone remembers in the chapter, right? Because there's such powerful instructions. But that's one set of instructions. There's also a whole second discussion. Anyone recall?
Is there really?
The last year, I haven't made a decision.
Huh? Who said something? Narada to Yudhisthira. Yes. Narada Muni instructs Yudhisthira Maharaj in the second part of the chapter. Both valuable sets of instructions and both related in a sense also, apart from related to the particular incident. We'll see some connection there. We're going to jump a little bit, or we'll skim a little bit, and then we'll jump in here. Vidura himself, we find in the after suttas begin speaking, had left home, left the palace, and gone out on pilgrimage, and become fixed in devotional service to Krishna by hearing from Maitreya Muni. And then he shows up after many years, we think, after traveling on pilgrimage. And Yudhisthira and all the palace inmates, as Prabhupada would say, receive him with great delight as their old uncle, and especially on the side of Yudhisthira and his brothers, their protector and friend who had been partial to them in the absence of their father. And they ask him various questions. They ask him about Dwarka, which Vidura speaks incompletely about, or defers, yeah, speaks about incompletely. He remains silent about the demise of the Yadu dynasty. And then he gets to his real business. What's his real business here? Why has he showed up? Got tired of being on pilgrimage? Food wasn't so good at the free kitchens? Huh? Out of compassion for Dhritarashtra. His brother, Dhritarashtra and Vidura are brothers. And what is actually going on here? We find out, first of all, that Vidura is an incarnation of Yamaraj, that Aryama, who's in charge of the planet of the trees, for those who prefer the first edition of Bhagavad Gita, this is the planet of trees overseen by Aryama. Otherwise, if you're not so keen on such a purist, he's head of the Pitri Loka. He stands in for as Yamaraj while Vidura is out on earth. And what is Vidura saying to, what is Dhritarashtra's problem essentially?
Refusing to die.
No, he's not refusing to die.
And he's living under the...
It's not even up to him, live or die. It's not that death is coming and he's saying, no, I'm not going to die. That's not his problem. What's his problem? Attachment means everyone's attached. What's his problem?
He wants still to think that he's a senior person and...
Still wants to think he's the senior person? In essence, what's his problem? No, that was his old problem. That problem's... No, that's been rendered impossible. The sons are all dead. He's not going to see them on the throne. What's his problem now?
The relative, pursuit of the comforts of life at any cost, even humiliation.
Everyone would rather... Okay, he'd rather... have comforts at the expense of humiliation. True. That's certainly a big component of his problem. What else could you say about it? What's the essential, what is it that distinguishes Dhritarashtra here from all the other attached people in illusion and trying to be comfortable?
He's living in part of his kingdom.
He's living in someone else's kingdom. What else about it?
You happen to be there in Germany.
Yeah?
We happen to have put into so much trouble, and now he's...
Yeah, he's an extreme case. He's living in the palace of the people that he tried to kill and insult and cheat and swindle, and who killed his own sons. What would you say he is? What kind of...
He's old.
Yeah, he's old. He's an attached old man. He's an attached old man. That's what he is. Right? There are lots of attached young men. That's different. He's an attached old man. Everything's been smashed. His sons are dead. Everything has been, all of his hopes have been ruined, and still he's attached. Still he's living in the palace. And it's really run down nicely by Vidura. What are some of the other things Vidura says about him?
He says he's coughing up mucus from his debilitated liver.
Yeah, his teeth are loose, his liver is bad, he's coughing up mucus. What are all these? Symptoms of? Yeah, of old age. They're symptoms of old age. Your digestion doesn't work, your ears start going bad, your mind, your memory goes squishy. All the faculties start going bad. One E.B. White, a famous essayist, wrote in his old age an essay that appeared in Life magazine. He said, old age is when you feel your toothbrush, and if it's wet, you've brushed your teeth.
Yeah.
Young men can hardly... only conceptualize what that means. But for old men, that's an experience. If your toothbrush is wet, you've brushed your teeth. Yes?
Does it happen to sadhus? I mean, all the devotees too?
Does it happen to all devotees, to sadhus? Does it? Yeah, we see a nod here, as in yes. Yes. Sridhar Maharaj's liver went bad, even at a young age, not so old, not young, but not old, not terribly old.
No, but specifically that forgetfulness, I mean, you know.
Can it happen to sadhus? Do we expect our sadhus immune? And sadhu has to, you know, we saw Prabhupada had a, you know, he was sharp to the last day. Are we all going to be sharp to the last day? What do you think? I see a no. I see a second no. There's no guarantee. Our old sadhus may be swimming in Alzheimer's. Possibly. Or in some other form of badness. That's also possible. Illusion, you know, like real, you know, little cuckoo. Possible. We don't know. Subtle body is under the laws of material nature. We do not know whether everyone will be sharp and clear. Figure they stand a better chance than the karmis in general. You know, they don't have their minds pickled with liquor and drugs and what have you. But there's no such guarantee. How's that? Dhritarashtra's got, you know, his memories. Even Prabhupada said, I'm forgetting. Prabhupada's, you know, sometimes became irritable and he ascribed it to his being old. It, Bhakti Charamaj tells him an incident like that. Prabhupada said, you know, I'm an old man, so what can you expect? Bhakti Charamaj said, no, 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 no. But Prabhupada, that was Prabhupada's, you know, presentation. You know, old men become irritable, or old men become... You know, we've seen sometimes some of our Gaudiya Mutt uncles, have they all been, you know, sharp and clear to the very last? Or do they seem like old men that sometimes have to be, you know, humored a bit, or not quite in touch with what's going on around them? And we understand that they're, you know, devotees and that they're highly advanced in Krishna consciousness, but do they become old? Do they lose their hearing? Do they forget things? They're sometimes out of touch. Can happen, right? Prabhupada told Panchadravida Swami in Prabhupada's last days, don't think this won't happen to you. Coughing up mucus. So these signs are, these old age signs are signs of impending death. Maybe not tomorrow or the next day, but it means things are not good. Draw a bell curve for me, someone. Go ahead. You know what a bell curve is. Okay, you can draw one. You know what a bell curve is. Yeah, that's a bell curve. Yeah, just a quick rough one. A 2-second bell curve. That's it. That's a bell curve. Looking at that as the human lifetime, what would you say happens?
good and it gets really bad.
Yeah, well, birth, growth, staying for some time, maybe having a few byproducts there toward the someplace on the slope. And when you reach the top, what happens? It's all downhill. It's all downhill, dwindling and dying. Left side, it's all growth. Bones are getting stronger, your muscles are getting stronger, your senses are getting stronger, your mind is getting stronger, you're learning, you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's all, you know, you're getting yourself ready, you're getting trained for a career, you're getting married, you're da-da-da. It's all expectancy and enthusiasm. When you start going down the other side, muscles start getting troublesome, weak, painful, arthritis, bones have problems, your eyes, another stronger prescription, ears start losing it, time for a hearing aid, your different, every system can have a problem. There can be heart problems, there can be lung problems, there can be liver problems, there can be bladder problems, there can be kidney problems, there can be nerve problems, there can be skeletal problems, there can be particular diseases. These things start moving in. Dwindle, 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 dwindle. You can do less, you have less energy, less power, less this, that. Finally, boom, finished. That's the curve. Where's Dhritarashtra on the curve? Yeah, he's heading toward the end. And what else does the Jura set tell him? About, point out to him as signs of
You're living like a dog.
Somebody else's house, and you're just taking the scraps that they give you, and the scraps are being handed out by Bhima, who killed your favorite sons, and you're taking them. You're just gratefully accepting the scraps. What else? Your memory is going, your hearing is going. You're blind to begin with, otherwise your eyes would be going. What else? Fear has overtaken you. We'll come back to that in a second. What else? Everyone's dead. Your sons are dead. So many of your friends are dead. Your father, of course, is long dead. Your mother's dead. Bhishma's dead. Drona's dead. Huh? Everybody's dead. This is also the position of old men. They, you know, the ambulance comes regularly for one of their friends. Take them away, never to be seen again. Young people, they know, you know, maybe someone who died, you know, a grandparent or something. But once you're a little older, you know, it starts to be people that you know. Maybe a parent. Then it starts to be brothers, cousins, friends. Pretty soon it's like, you know, everybody, it's everybody but you and a few others. There's some survivors, but most people are remembered. Remember such and such. Oh yes, wasn't he? Da 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 da. It's just a memory. All these, so many people who are gone. It's like that. Your friends and relatives are dead. And you're overtaken by fear. They're overcome by fear. That's the actual fear. Somebody wrote a book called The Denial of Death. Everyone is afraid of death. Fear is overtaking. And not only fear of death, but fear on all counts. You know, what's going to happen to me? Whether I live or die, fear at every moment. Anything else pointed out by Vidura about this situation? Good enough, huh? He's old, dwindling, and attached. And why? Yes. Why? Why doesn't he just pick up and go?
The Prabhupada mentioned in the first book that he wanted to continue his life comfortably, even at the risk of all humiliation.
Yeah, he wants to be comfortable at the risk of all humiliation. He wants to live somehow or other, that's mentioned. What verse is that? 23. Something 25 too?
Yeah, well, in the desire to live even at the cost of violence.
Yeah, it's there too. I think it comes up twice, huh? Aho mahiyasi jantor jivitasha yata bhavan. In 23. How powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. And then 25. Kapanasya jijivishoho. Your tasyapi tabadeho yam kapanasya jijivisho. Paraiti anichchato jirno jaraya vasasi iva. Your body is falling apart like an old rag. And still you're so keen on living, even at the cost of all honor, prestige, decency, respectability. Just living a degraded life. Why? Why is he living like that? Why is he living like that?
He's spiritually blind, isn't he?
Yeah, he's blind. He's blind as a bat, that's clear.
Spiritually blind.
He's spiritually blind, that's certainly clear.
He doesn't have anything to give it up for.
He doesn't have anything to give it up for. Yeah, if you look in 14. He accepted, at the very end of the page, 725, he accepted it because he thought that there was no alternative. He thought there's no alternative. If I don't crawl back to the palace, or if I don't stay in the palace, what will I do? What will become of me? All my sons are dead. Drona's dead. Bhishma's dead. Everyone's dead but the Pandavas. If I don't stay here, what will happen to me? He saw no alternative. And again on 725, Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in the fight with Maharaj Yudhisthira, and still, due to his sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He felt helpless. No alternative. Nothing else to do. Nothing else I can do. I'm helpless. That was his situation. What else can I do? So he's living like a dog because he had no alternative. That's his situation. Insanely attached, pramatta, that's mentioned there someplace. Where's that? Pramatana 17. Evam griheshu saktanam pramatanam tadihaya. You're griheshu sakta, just attached to this place. It's a palace, but even if it were a tenement, you know, you find these old ladies who don't want to move out of their old tenement. Even, you know, the government wants to put them in a nice home someplace, and they're attached to their tenement because they've been living there for the past 45 years. Attached to the place, attached to the routine. Of course, he had his secretary, he had his, you know, he still had something going on there. Some arrangement was there. He had security. He had security. He's insanely attached and absorbed in thoughts, tadihaya, about his family affairs. I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can give my children enough. The materialistic attached person thinks that way. Dhritarashtra, of course, couldn't think about his children. But something. Pramatta. Pramatta means mad. Matta means mad, and pramatta means utterly mad. Nunam pramatta kurute vikar. Deha paccha kalatradishu atma sanyesha satsvapi teshu pramatta nidhanam tashyanapi napashyati. Means? You know that verse? No? Deha paccha kalatradishu? Huh? Huh? Explain? They're mad. Deha, apatya, kalatra, wife, children, body, home, atmasanyeshu, these are my soldiers. Asatsapi, even though they're all fallible, all helpless like he is. Teshu pramatta nidana, he's madly attached. Pashyanapi na pashyati, even though he sees, he doesn't see. His eyes of knowledge are shut. So this is the person that Dhritarashtra, that Vidura comes to enlighten. And what are Vidura's qualifications for enlightening him?
He himself is detached.
How did he get detached?
Duryodhana
kicked him out. Huh? Duryodhana. Yeah, Duryodhana practically kicked him out, almost kicked him out.
Insulted him, and then he decided to leave.
Yeah, insulted. Probably could have said, "No, Duryodhana, I'll be good. I'm sorry, you're right. I've been favoring the Pandavas. You people are maintaining me, you've been good to me all along. I didn't mean it. I take it all back." And just walked out. Okay, good luck to you. And thank you very much, by the way. I've been hanging around this place long enough. You're doing me a favor. Finally, I'm out of here. Walked out. Just walked out. He was somebody. He was more than Dhritarashtra was at this point. Vidura back then was more than Dhritarashtra is now. He was one of the royal brothers. He was the brother of Pandu, brother of Dhritarashtra. Although he was the son of a Shudra, he was a very respected person, highly qualified, minister, advisor, honored. living in the palace, of course. And he had a lot more going for him than Dhritarashtra does at this point. And he just walked out. And where did he go? Walked out on pilgrimage.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Within his heart, he has the Lord, so he in himself is a place of pilgrimage.
True, but then why didn't he just stay in Hastinapur? How did he get to be a place of pilgrimage?
I'm meeting Maitreya Rishi.
Meeting Maitreya Rishi. Went out to different places of pilgrimage, and what was his purpose?
Find the saintly person.
Yeah, to associate with some saintly person. Not just to say, I haven't seen Tirupati, I haven't seen Haridwar, I haven't seen, what's it like in Jagannath Puri? It wasn't just to go, sightseeing. Where is there a saintly person? And what was the result of meeting a saintly person?
He became complete in transcendental knowledge.
Means?
He understood that he was a servant of Krishna in principle of devotional service.
Yeah, he became fixed up in devotional service to Krishna. That was the result. Became completely focused on that. Then why is he coming back?
To preach.
Yeah, preach. Why?
Because the devotee has compassion.
Yeah, compassion. My brother, my old blind brother is still rotting there back at the palace. Try and do something for him. So this is Vidura. What does he recommend to Dhritarashtra?
To see the falsities of the body and the mind. Isn't it?
Yeah. Get out. Get out. Now. Sadhya. Sadhya means now. Get out. And who should he tell before he leaves? Who should he leave a note with? Call his lawyer before he leaves? Who should he tell?
Nobody.
Nobody. Why not?
I'll try to convince him otherwise.
Yeah. That's not so bad, Dhritarashtra. You can make a go of it. Create your own reality. Life is what you make of it. Yudhisthira loves you. Where will you go? Come on, you're an old man. Where do you think you'll go? I love you, Yudhisthira will say. No, you're my respectable, worshipable. Please let me serve you. They'll all say, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. What do you do? Don't tell them. Just like suicide. If someone's serious about suicide, or if someone's not serious about suicide, what does he do before he slashes his wrists? Yeah, tells everyone, I'm going to commit suicide. I've just bought, 14 bottles of XYZ because I'm going to kill myself. Or he tells his, intimate friend, don't tell my parents, but this is what I'm going to do. He tells someone. Why? So those, yeah, so that he can do it and not do it. They commit suicide and still live. You know, he'll take the pills and they'll right away call 911 and pump his stomach. Or they'll, you know, before he does it, they'll rush into his room and say, "No, no, no, we love you. We you know, da 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 da." It's all for show. Really wants to commit suicide, doesn't tell anyone. Disappears one day, and you read about it in the newspapers a few days later. And that's it. No, we're not advising you how to commit suicide. But don't tell anyone. They'll try to stop you. That's what Vidura is advising. Just get out now. Just go. This is the advice. Shigram, get out now. Bhayamagatam, fear has overtaken you. And what does he have to lose?
Nothing.
Why not? He doesn't have anything. He's going to die anyway. Pranay priyatamai. Even your dear life you're going to have to give up. Huh? Yes, 20. Under the influence of time, kala, yena chayvab hipanno yam pranay priyatamai rapi. Jana sadyo viyujeta kim utanyar tanaribi. You'll have to give up your money, you'll have to give up your home, you'll have to give up your relatives. Why? You'll have to give up your life. So what do you stand to lose? Get out now. This is the advice. So where does this stand with us, gang? I first read this in 1968. I was 18 or 19. And I thought, yeah, this is exactly right. You know, those old dogs are attached to home like anything. You know, old politicians sticking in office, like, you know, with their old sagging faces and sagging skins and their wobbling voices and their stupid minds. They're just living like dogs as senators and old men, you know, imagining that they're the heads of corporations and the heads of families and the kings and this and that. A batch of attached old fools. Go get him. Yay, Vidura. I thought it was great. And we, the whole batch of us back there. Now we're that generation are mostly in their 50s. Some are in their 60s. Can't think of anyone who's still in the 40s. Does this have any relevance? Does this have any relevance now? Profound relevance, he says.
The thing I was thinking is that at the time of death, those attachments, if they're there, it's going to be difficult.
The time of death, if those attachments are there, they're going to be difficult. Yeah. Where the mind goes, that's where the soul goes. Will devotees have to give up their homes, their wives, their children, their money, their bodies, the pranaya, their life air, will they have to give it up? Will they? They get an exemption. Oh, you're a devotee, okay. You want to hold on to your MP3 player? That's okay, fine. You want to hold, if you want your wife to come with you, okay. No. And if we remain attached at the time of death, what happens? Yeah, come back. Come back. What are we to do?
Get serious.
Get serious. What does get serious mean?
Cultivate knowledge and detachment.
Cultivate knowledge and detachment. What does that mean?
Go
to the forest. What does that mean? Take shelter of the sadhus and Krishna. Yes, that is what it means. But that's what I'm doing now in my apartment on Wetsake Avenue with my wife and family who need me. I'm serious. What do you want from me? I mean, we're all sometimes more serious than other times, but what does it mean to be serious?
To be serious.
What does it mean to be serious?
To be serious.
To be serious means to be serious. What do we have to do?
Move up into the next ashram.
Yes. There, a strong case can be made here for moving out. For moving out and moving on. The Vedic system is, of course, there's no Hindu religion, but there's Varnashram Dharma. I think I made the point some class, some time back here in Mayapur, that for a while we were hearing a lot about Varnashram Dharma, the importance of Varnashram. Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram. And what was meant by Varnashram? When you really probed into it, what were people talking about when they said Varnashram?
Sannyas.
Were they? Were they talking about sannyas? Yeah, they were talking about family life. Prabhupada emphasized the importance of Varnashram. We've given a little attention to, occupate, but what about, ashram? Our ashram duties. By which they meant family life. I've neglected my family. I haven't, I don't have financial stability. How can you have Krishna consciousness without financial stability? How can you have stable families without financial stability? How can you have Krishna conscious children without stable families? Varnashram meant, it was a code word in that context for family life, which is one of the ashrams. As we need brahmachari life, we need family life. Very important institution. You don't get brahmacharis except from parents. Yes?
But even a sadhu or a renunciate can be attached to the
mat. Even a sannyasi or a renunciant can be attached to the mat they sleep on. That's very true. But what's the thing one gets most attached to? What does one become most attached to?
First his own body, and then his wife, and then the children.
Mm-hmm. What is that? What is what one become most attached to?
His own body.
Society,
friendship, and love.
Yeah, society, friendship, and love. What does that mean?
people want to feel here.
Yeah, true, they do. What does one become most attached to? Yes. Yeah. One becomes most attached to his wife. Okay, I may be attached to my mat, my kumandalu, maybe even my, you know, IBM T42. But not the way one becomes attached to his wife. And therefore we find that Lord Brahma says, Ye prayasho jita jito pyasi taispilokyam. If someone can give up this material attachment, then one can be, the Lord becomes conquered. Kapildev says that there's nothing else than one becomes more attached to in this world than a woman. Why? Nature is wired that way. It's biology. It's biology. It's the body. Things are put together in such a way that a woman becomes attached to a man becomes attached to a woman, and when that attachment is fixed, it's like a hard knot that you can't cut. Therefore, getting serious means cutting that attachment. That's Vanaprastha Ashram. Preliminary stage is Vanaprastha Ashram. What's Vanaprastha Ashram? Okay, we're talking Varnashram here. What is Vanaprastha Ashram?
Going on pilgrimage together.
That may be.
And then not necessarily living completely separate, but cultivating the renounced mentality.
Retired life.
Okay, it's retired life. Vanaprastha ashram means retired life.
Celibacy.
Celibacy. No sex. Rule number one. Vanaprastha ashram. If you're having sex, you're not a vanaprastha. You may not be on pilgrimage. You may not be this or that, but if you're you may still be a vanaprastha, but if you're having sex, you're not a vanaprastha. Out of the question. So that's rule number one. Rule number one. No sex. Why? Yeah, that's the root of the whole attachment. The biggest problem is not your car, the biggest problem is not your bank balance, the biggest problem is it's male and female attachment. And the tightest bolt on that, tightest lock on that, is sex. The business of sex. The sex act, as they say. That's the root cause of the whole thing. If that's still going on, forget it. There's no detachment. There's no renunciation. You know, I go with my wife to Vrindavan and have sex. Or pilgrimage places. No. First thing is no sex life. Which, if one has been strict in householder life, has probably been given up already. And if it hasn't been, then, you know, how serious are you in your householder life? Is it that you're still having children? Planning to have children? Or is it that we're not so serious? Is everyone strictly following? Oh, you live in ISKCON, is everyone strictly following? What do you suppose? Huh? Yeah, it's just, you know, everybody knows everybody. We all have friends in sannyas ashram. Are all the sannyasis very strict and, you know, ideal sannyasis? No. Are all the householders, you know, following four principles? Three and a half. Three. Some not even three. Therefore, the first thing is to be very serious in householder life. And before that, serious brahmachari life will. And therefore, parents who are thinking that, well, my child is going to become a householder anyway, why should I send them for this useless gurukul or this, that? You know, what are they thinking? Yeah. Will their children be ideal grihasthas? Well equipped for householder life? No. What does brahmachari life mean? What are you supposed to learn? Service attitude, detachment, and control of the senses. Most important is service attitude. To have devotional service be the number one priority. Then, if you have that, naturally, you'll have detachment, and you've learned to control your senses also by engaging them in Krishna's service. If you can't control your senses, what kind of householder are you going to be? Grihamedhi. Or a householder who has trouble. A householder who has difficulty. Because if you can't control your senses, what kind of householder life will it be? And if devotion is not in the forefront, how will you control your senses? What are you going to do for happiness if you don't have devotion to Krishna? You know, what else is there for happiness if you don't have devotion to Krishna? Right? Number one source of happiness is devotion to Krishna. What's the number two happiness? Yeah. Which means? Rice Krispies with milk and sugar? I mean, what? Yeah, it means sex. If one doesn't have the happiness of devotion to Krishna, then naturally there has to be the happiness of sex. Which, if one is not Krishna conscious, is not likely to be regulated sex. So everything becomes more difficult. Varnashram becomes more difficult the more stages you skip. One stage you can skip. Grihastha stage is skippable. Brahmacharya stage is skippable, but it's not advised that one skip it. If you've already missed it, too bad. But if, you know, for a young boy, what is that? Prahlad Maharaj says? Komaratra Pragya. Dharman Bhagavatam. From Komara age, he should be trained. Then if he becomes a householder, as Prahlad Maharaj did, he becomes a self-controlled householder. Then, if he's a self-controlled householder, it becomes easier to break the attachment to home and become a vanaprastha. Otherwise it's harder. But even if it's hard, one should do it. Now, we were talking about what it means. So the first thing is no sex. Vanaprastha means no sex. What else? Huh? Tapasya, austerity, well, okay, no sex, that's an austerity. What else?
No money.
No money?
A little money.
No money, little money.
I mean, you just gradually identify other material attachments, whatever they may be, whether it's economic development or whatever they may be, and then together cultivate Krishna consciousness to
identify your other attachments and gradually try and cut them down. Okay, why don't we start writing a few here? Yeah, you can do it. Okay, number one is the big S. Yeah, no sex. Number two. What are we hearing? Okay, cutting your other material attachments. Cutting other attachments. Okay. What else?
Study of scripture.
Study of scripture.
Pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage. Cutting of attachments, study of scripture. Pilgrimage.
And there's some restricting of association, like sleeping in separate areas.
Okay, restricted association between husband and wife. They're not in the, together in that big king-size bed. What else?
No more economic development.
Yeah, no more economic development. He's not still working for Standard and Poor's or whoever it is. Exxon Corporation, Amazon Earth. No more economic development. Yeah. What else? What does that mean that he's on pilgrimage? Yeah. He's looking for spiritual, association. Yeah, give it a separate item. Spiritual association. What do you do when you're in family life? Associate with family, your relatives, your cousins, your in-laws, your all those people, and who else? Sutta apta vitta. So, you know, in terms of people, what other kinds of people do you associate with?
Dogs, cats, and canaries.
Dogs, cats, and canaries. Yeah, your pets.
Yeah.
Who else? Yeah, you've got your... Seriously, you know, people... You know, you get people who are like, they're living alone with their dog or whatever. Yes? Or, you know, married couple, there's nothing... All they have is one another and their dog. I lost my train of thought. You know, who else do you associate with when you're in family life?
Other people that are in
family
life.
Yeah, but who else?
Your work colleagues.
Yeah, the other people, you know, people in your line of work. You don't have to put this down, we're discussing.
Materialistic association.
Yeah, okay, giving up material association. But in family life, you're associating, you can put that. Family life, you're associating, you're obliged to, you have to, you know. Your in-laws are coming, and you'd much rather, you know, be anywhere else in the three worlds, but there's nothing you can do about it. Or you like them, and you're happy they're coming, but one way or another, you have to associate with your, you know, there's a wedding over here, and you have to go. There, you know, your your nephew is having his, you know, this or that ceremony, and you have to be there. Or you want to visit your grandchildren in Colorado. And they're the people in your line of work. So you're meeting the people at the office, or you're attending some conference where you're discussing, you know, the latest developments and widgets and whatever it is. So you're associating with these people who are where the aim is. You know, you wouldn't associate with them for anything in the world except money. So we have this association that we're keeping for the sake of making money, maybe customers. You know, we're keeping in touch with our customers, or we're keeping in touch with the people who owe us money. Come home after work and get on the phone and start calling the people who owe us. You know, George, how are you doing? Good, glad to hear about it. George, you remember that, you know, $200 that you're, you know, I know you mean to pay it, and, you know, how's it going? How are you doing these days? Well, it's tough, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and you've got a list of people you have to keep calling because they owe you money. Yes?
Hi, I have a question. Someone may say, this all sounds great, but how practical is it in terms of the institution of this God? Because they may not be able to support themselves.
Okay, let's talk about it. We get down to this. You know, we have all these instructions given by Vidura, which are certainly meant for the karmis, who are madly attached to sense gratification and material life, and before they die like dogs, they should get out and come to Krishna consciousness. What about those who are in Krishna consciousness? We say they should give up sex, okay, that's doesn't cost anything. At least, you know, in cash. Cutting attachments, studying scripture, okay. But, you know, giving up economic development? Yes?
Because that is the responsibility, right? Take care of the renunciates, like the children. But we haven't really developed that. We haven't come to that level in the institution. The grahasthas haven't really accepted that responsibility.
Grahasthas haven't accepted the responsibility for the vanaprasthas, what to speak of. Sannyasis are no problem, they're richer than the grahasthas. But what about the vanaprasthas? Who's going to support them? The sannyasis should. Mm-hmm.
Well, the institution also is here in Mayapur, we have some facility for vanaprasthas.
Here in Mayapur, we have facility for vanaprasthas.
Also in Vrindavan, Vrindavan had a section of his property.
Okay, in Vrindavan there was a section of that property. We don't know if there's still a section of that property. How practical is it? Person says, geez, you know, I'd like to, but da 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 da. You know, I've got my wife to think about. ISKCON doesn't do anything for you. You know, they say they will, but they won't.
Hmm? Children should be taken care of.
Children should be taken care of. Yeah?
If you look at this on a practical note, then even if they're not, like, if they're maintaining lots of desires to have lots of different things, they're going to have to work a lot, but anyone can live very simply. Like, if you cut down desires for things you need and they start living more like brahmacharis and brahmacharinis again, like in that sense of what they need, then they might only have to work one day a week instead of working 5 days, so they're on that process of cutting.
Cut. If you need less, you cost less. If you cost less, you work less.
Mm-hmm. Plan some vision project.
Okay, let's start over here. Well, let's. This is the suggestions page. Suggestion one: cut your costs. Spend less, work less. Yes.
You have to have something to actually contribute to the society as well, and then there's a reason to be supported. I mean, you're not going to be supported, but you have to give something back. You have to give guidance, example.
Okay, make yourself cheaper. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, make yourself useful. Contribute something. So that people will think, these people are worth supporting. What else? That it? This came to the end of our...
An active preaching project where they can be involved in preaching and be supported by that.
Preach. Preach and grow rich. That is to say, preach and be happy that you're poor. What else?
Tolerate.
Accept disciples.
Yeah. But is that, what do we think about that? No, it's not really Pratishtha. But what is that?
Take responsibility.
What is that that's being proposed here?
Guru.
Yeah? Become guru. Why?
To be supported. So that's
yeah, to be support, to support yourself. Become a guru so that your disciples will support you. What do we think of that? Yeah, it's a good idea. Probably, you know, as a business plan, it's probably not bad. You know, you calculate how much each disciple will give, make sure you get, you know, some cherry picks there. Some good ones who've got some, you know, the means, and you're set up for life. What do we think about that?
It doesn't seem to have integrity.
Huh?
It doesn't seem to have integrity in terms of...
It lacks integrity. That is to say, it's cheating. The guru is supposed to be a person who lives only for the benefit of the disciples, not person who lives at the expense of the disciples. Shukracharya. You know, flatters his disciples so that they'll give him money so that he can meet his economic needs. Our books frown on that. Cheating. Why? Why is it cheating? What's wrong with it? It works, the disciples are happy to give the money, you need the money. What's wrong with it?
You cannot preach.
Preach? Hey, if I have money, I can preach.
It's based on material desires instead of spiritual desires.
What material desires? I just want to maintain my, you know, little
material
corner desire. Everybody has to maintain. What's wrong with it?
You may still be attacked.
Why?
Why? And like that. And then...
Okay, we're a little attached. What's wrong with that? What is the problem here?
You're practicing what you're preaching.
What's the problem here?
You're attached.
You don't depend on Krishna. You're busy making some separate arrangement because you don't believe that Krishna will maintain you. That's the problem. You're not depending on Krishna. Depend on Krishna. Yes.
You could say Krishna is sending, you know, like resources in the form of,
Krishna sends resources. That's a different thing. But if your plan is, as you said, you know, that I'll become guru so that I'll have resources, so that I'll have security. That means you're not depending on Krishna. You're not depending on Krishna. What is the basic principle of renunciation?
Depending on Krishna.
Depending on Krishna. Rakshasya Titi Vishvaso Bhokritve Abharanam Tata. Who can protect me? And who can maintain me? It's only Krishna. If I'm in difficulty, my disciples can't bail me out. They can't really save me if Krishna wants to kill me. They can't give me money if Krishna wants to take all my money away. They can't maintain me. They can't protect me. It means I'm in illusion, thinking, my disciples will protect me. My disciples will maintain me. Finally, it's only Krishna that protects and maintains me. The bona fide spiritual master can be, if I have no disciples, I have to depend on Krishna. That's all.
Seeing that we are not forcing Krishna to maintain.
Why force? He's doing it anyway. There's no question of forcing Krishna to maintain me. The fact is, Krishna is already maintaining me. Huh? Eko bahunam yo vidhati kama. Krishna is already maintaining me.
Maharaj, it would seem that one of the qualifications for vanaprastha is that they have to have a lot of faith in
them. Yeah. You have to have some faith. If you have no faith, how can you do it? How can you possibly do it if you don't have faith in Krishna? It'll be very difficult. Because my present arrangement appears to be secure. I only have to work 7 years more, and then I'll have a pension. And then I'll have security. That is something you can count on. Right? And depending on Krishna, that's airy fairy up in the pie in the sky stuff. You could say it, it's a philosophy, your religion, but you know, this company will support you. Your religion won't support you. We'll support you. If you work for us for only 7 years more, we'll support you. That's their presentation. And it appears to be true. You just work for them a little while longer, you'll have a pension, you'll be secure. Is it true? Why not?
Inflation.
Yeah, there's inflation. There's plundered pension programs. What else?
You can die at any moment.
You don't know that you have 7 more years. You ask, they're holding the carrot in front of you, and you'll say, okay, 7 more years. You don't know that you have 1 year. You don't know that you have another month. You're going to work for these gentlemen for 7 more years. You don't know that you're going to be around that long. And you die like a dog working for them so that you'll have security. To become a dog in your next life and work again for, you know, work for the same company again or for some other company. There's no security that way. And you retire, you get your pension, but what security? And what kind of life? People are working their whole lives for their retirement and for their golden years. And what are their golden years really like? Read about it. Read about it in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Your golden years, thank you very much. Yeah, you could rot in security. Thank you so much. It looks like it's got something to it. It has integrity or stability or dependability. But you look what kind of life you get. You get to be like Dhritarashtra. You get to live in a little cottage somewhere, or a big cottage, depending on, you know, what it is, but you get to live somewhere with your wife and your family and your dog and your car and your what, this and your that, and your illusions. And you remain attached to these things, depending on them. You're depending on that income, you're depending on those family members, you're depending on this and that, and then you die. And then you come back. And do you go back to Godhead under those circumstances? You weren't depending on Krishna. You weren't absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Come back. Even if you live those 7 more years, you know, you work hard and, you know, then again, maybe, you know, the next 7 years is decrepitude, Alzheimer's, you know, could be anything. You don't know that you're going to be, now I'll retire and study Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't know that. You have no such guarantee. Now I'll retire and, you know, it's only 7 more years and I'll have this, that.
Mm-hmm. Regarding Manichi's comment about faith, in Prabhupada Lila, he describes that he was afraid about accepting renunciation.
Mm.
So, is this why? I mean, is this the issue?
It says in Prabhupada Lila that he was afraid. That Prabhupada said he was afraid of accepting sannyas. I don't know what he had in mind. Whether he was thinking who'd support, you know, my family members, whether he was thinking how will I live, whether he was thinking can I maintain this? I don't know what he was thinking. And he said, I was afraid. It'd be rough. I don't know what he was thinking. What are the reasons people don't do this? We could fill up another sheet. What keeps people from renouncing? What keeps people from leaving home?
They think they're in control, and if they renounce, then all the control is gone.
They lose control?
They have to marry the youngest daughter.
Okay, let's stick them up. Let's throw ourselves another sheet. We can tack this somewhere. Okay, we're not going to go far that way. Is there a tax over there? Okay.
Not see that.
Reasons that people don't leave home. First one was loss of control. Can't control your situation, everything's, you know, loss of control. Children still to get married.
A lack of encouragement from the family members.
That's called discouragement from family members.
Is that social pressure that if you do it, then everyone's going to criticize?
Social
you?
Pressure.
And then
negative social pressure.
And then if you fail, then people are going to say, "I told you so." At the end.
Yeah, fear of failure. You come crawling back home. expand on this negative social pressure, but we won't. But I could imagine some of the things that...
It's quite interesting.
Hmm? Would there be negative social pressure even in Krishna consciousness?
Hmm.
Even in ISKCON?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah?
You can't be a kid.
Huh?
You left your kids in the family.
You left your kids, you left your wife. Negative social pressure? There was another one after that? What was that?
Discouragement
from family members. You want a what? You out of your mind? Your oldest son comes up to you and says, "Dad, you know, I think we have to have a serious talk."
Lack of a higher engagement to give up.
Yeah, lack of higher engagement. Should we call it no prospects? You know, what will I do? That's mentioned, we read that. You know, you don't see an alternative. Lack of prospects, what will I do?
And lack of higher taste.
Your lack of taste?
Being brainwashed, there is nothing else to do. That's the proper thing to do.
It's the proper thing to do, but they think, what will I do? How can I, what will I do? In practical, real terms, what am I supposed to do? I don't see any prospects. Who wants a da 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 da? Lack of prospects. Yes.
Do we have, as a society, have the facility to look after one of them, engage them properly, and look after them like that? People start coming forward.
No, we don't. We don't. There's no system in it. ISKCON has nothing for me. You could put that up there.
No system.
ISKCON has nothing for me. Yes.
Not many examples other than the scriptures for the prophet.
No practical examples to follow. Few examples. Only the most austere and brave souls. Something else, yes.
Not the poor conviction, no faith, and no clear idea about Krishna consciousness.
No faith, no clear idea of Krishna consciousness, no guts, no inspiration. No, I haven't really read these books in the last 12 years, to tell you the truth. No conception anymore. It's been pretty much, it's there someplace from many years ago. But it's not clear. Spiritual strength, spiritual weakness, shall we call it that? Yes?
No need!
Hey, I'm happy! I'm happy in Krishna consciousness. My wife is, fortunately I married the right girl and we've been ready, been together for 42 years. And my kids are like wonderful kids. And, everything's nice. Why should I leave? Maybe there possibly, if you scour the three worlds, you might find a case like that. Oh, there are people who are quite happy in their household or life. Their wives are nice, their children are nice. They're devotees. Why do it? Why bother? Why go through the trouble? It's not... What's the need? No need. Just stay in family life. I expect us to hear a lot about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur never took sannyas. So we can all be like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and stay at home. Prabhupada says there's no need to leave home. You'll find, there'll be quotes available. Any other reasons? That's enough to keep us home. Okay. Shall we take our little break?
Yeah.
Okay. 5. So we have all these reasons not to leave home. You lose control, your children won't get married, your peers will discourage you, your family will discourage you, you don't know what you'll do, you have no prospects, you don't see a future in it. ISKCON has no arrangements, and you don't have really faith in, you know, what's going to happen. You're maybe actually like afraid. And besides, what's the need? So, considering all these things, status quo. Just the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. We'll just keep the status quo. Is that okay? Maybe that's the best proposal. Under the circumstances, what is needed most of all?
Spiritual guidance from an authority.
Vidura. That's why you need Vidura. Because you've got all these very good reasons to stay put. Got your children to think about, you've got predictability and stability, you've got security to think about, you've got all these people who are telling you no, you see no real future, you're afraid, and besides, you know, your things are okay. Even if you're Dhritarashtra and you're falling apart and everyone's dead all around you and you're living at the expense of the people that you screwed and they're throwing you scraps, you're taking, not throwing you scraps, but you think that you're being honored by accepting food from the hand of Bhima who killed your sons. Even under those circumstances, one thinks, well, it's not so bad. It could be worse.
There's something at the end of purport 25, which is rather good. Stick to family life to the end of one's human life is the grossest type of degradation. There is an absolute need for the Vidurus to educate such disastrous even at the present moment.
This is the clue. That such an attached person. And it's not, you know, it's understandable. It's understandable. You have these obligations, these responsibilities, these people who love you, these people who depend on you. You have some sort of security. You have emotional needs that are being met. You have this, that. You have very understandable fears about what could happen if you embark in a different direction. With all of these things, how are people going to go from here to there without someone like Vidura's intervening? And therefore Prabhupada says you've chosen just the right spot, that there's a need for the Vidura's. Where is that coming?
End of 24.
There's a need for the Vidura's to educate such Dhritarashtras even at the present moment. Vidura means fixed up pure devotee of Krishna. Why is Vidura going to be able to do something? How is it that Vidura is able to do something?
That's purity.
Yeah, it's got purity. Specifically, why?
He's well conversant in spiritual knowledge.
He's well conversant in spiritual knowledge.
And he's the incarnation of
But we can't expect that more incarnations of Yamaraj are going to show up. Prabhupada said there's a need of lots of Viduras. They can't all be incarnations of Yamaraj. I mean, they could. Yamaraj could expand himself, but I don't know. You know, we might not want to wait for that.
He's experienced dependency on Krishna.
He's experienced in depending on Krishna. He's done it. He's done it. He's not just taught. And Svantakstena Gadabhad. He's keeping Krishna within his heart. He actually has Krishna where other people have their, you know, their family concerns and their this and their that and their maybe their posts and their so many things. He actually has Krishna in his heart. And because he has Krishna in his heart, he's as good as a place of pilgrimage. But one gets the experience of Krishna's presence when he comes. It's not just theoretical, it's not just ideal or yeah, not just theoretical. In fact, in actual experience, something happens to a person when he comes in touch with someone like Vidura and hears the words of a pure devotee like Vidura, who's motivated. You know, everyone speaks to you this way, they're motivated. Someone's thinking about, you know, if he leaves, who'll support me? Even that Shukracharya, the spiritual nest male, is thinking, if he does this, what about me? People are thinking, what about me? People are thinking about, you know, who'll fill the job slot? People are thinking about so many other things. But a pure devotee like Vidura is thinking about Krishna and about the soul in relationship to Krishna and how to get those two, you know, hooked up. He's actually compassionate. Some skeptic may say the potential Viduras are the sannyasis, but they don't have the experience. What do you say to that? You know, they've got expense accounts, they've got, you know, big donors, they've got, you know, cars and you know, comfy life. How are they going to, you know, what can they say?
Then you take up the renounced order.
I'm the person that you're talking to. I'm the person you're talking to, and I say, you know, even your sannyasis are not doing it. How can you expect us to do it? What can you say to that?
Well, they are becoming fully dependent on Krishna by preaching, and this is why Krishna's provided them with everything. And if they actually gave up everything to preach for Krishna, then Krishna would give them everything as well, so they wouldn't have this problem.
The sannyasi, you can say the sannyasis are being provided everything because they're preaching, and if you preach, you'll get it too. What else could you say? You could say you're right. You know, we've got sannyasis who are doing the banquet circuit. You know, they're leading comfortable preaching lives, going to the same old dependable donors. You know, I'll spend a week here, and he'll give me $1,000. I'll spend a few days there, and they'll give me $2,000. I'll spend some time here, I'll spend some time there. And they don't have guts. They don't have that feeling that I can go anywhere and Krishna will take care of me. That you could also say. I don't think you could say it universally that none of our sannyasis have any guts, none of them have any boldness, none of them have pure devotion to Krishna, but you could probably say it, you know, about me, at least. Hey, you know, got a few guys, take care of them. He does the same, you know, comes to Mayapur and teaches and, you know, lives in the senior Brahmacharya building, then he goes to Govardhan and lives in a palace. And he goes to New Jersey and lives with a disciple. Comes to England, lives with another disciple, you know. He's all set up. Just does the comfortable things. How's he going to do anything for somebody? Question? Maybe we have a shortage of vidurus. We do have a shortage of vidurus.
In that situation, which I'm not saying is true, but if that were the case, then we should aspire to become like vidurus, right? But under guidance of Guru Sadhana and Shastra, that way that we could show by example success, you know.
Yeah, we need to get off our butts. You know, whatever ashram you're in, if you're in the grihastha ashram, it's not meant for just living comfortably and making money and, you know, having a nice family life and not, you know, really thinking that if there's any end to it, it'll just go on more or less indefinitely. Or that sannyas means just, you know, kind of now I've done it and now I'm there. Been there, done that, well set. Keeping a holding pattern here. Sattva samshuddhi. The qualification for sannyasi, he has to purify his existence. Otherwise, if it's not really pure, it really doesn't have the potency. You know, we'll talk to Dhritarashtra and Dhritarashtra will say, you know, thanks, but no thanks.
Then on another note, if some of the people's arguments are that the sannyasi, or most of the sannyasis haven't gone through household life, so they don't know what we're doing, it's not really the point, because the point is being attached or dependent on Krishna.
I don't think that was your point. Was your point that people hadn't been through household life?
That could be one of them.
That could be a point. Okay.
But if that's a point, idea of someone, then it's, well, you know, they know the destination we're going to. It doesn't matter that they hadn't been where we were. They know where we want to go, and that's where they are. So
yeah, one. If someone says, "Well, you know, what? It's good for you to talk about these things, but you've never had a family." So then, one answer is, "Hey, I may never have had a family, but I've read the books. I know the philosophy." I can see, you know, I've been around, I've seen it. You know, do I have to really have had a family to know that, you know, sense gratification, you know, that your hair is gray, that your teeth are not really yours anymore, they're not the ones that you started with, that, you know, you have to ask me to say things twice because you can't hear them properly. That, you know, your faculties are fading. Do I have to have been a householder to see that? You know, everybody else has noticed that, you know, your wife's not a spring chicken. Have you noticed it? You know, the kids think that you're like an old goat. I don't know what you think, but the kids, you know, hey, the kids look at it and say, "Yeah, the guy's 65. What's he doing?" "Hey, he's one of the old goats." Yeah, they're joking about you. Yeah, I don't have to be a householder to see that. That's one answer. Another answer is we need some householders to do this. One answer is we have some householders who've done this. We have people who, not that all the sannyasis came straight out of the Brahmacharya ashram. We have some sannyasis who've come from household life, and we need more. Before we talk about sannyasis, let's just talk about vanaprasthas. It needs some leadership. Some married men have to look at it and say, "Hey, you know, am I going to do this forever? Am I going to die at home with the wife and kids and grandkids and, you know, is that going to be it?" So there need to be some vidurus coming from different directions. Yes.
One thing I see is that Sannyasa ashram is so formalized and brahmachari ashram is so formalized and grihastha ashram also, but the vanaprastha ashram it's so undeveloped that you don't even know if a person is a vanaprastha or not. It's like, it's kind of this, is he accountable to, and you know, what are the standards? It's so kind of hazy and gray.
Vanaprastha ashram is so hazy, gray, it's like an unseen phenomenon. You know, we talk about varnashram and everybody scratches their head and says, you know, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, you know, like what are they supposed to, you know, farms, you know, like we're really supposed, you know, how do we do, it's all theoretical. Vanaprastha is like the theoretical ashram. Brahmacharyas we've seen, grihasthas we've seen, sannyasis we've seen. What is a vanaprastha? And what's expected of a vanaprastha? What goes? What is it? Some unknown species.
Alien
identities, yeah. Some sort of, you know. How many eyes do they have?
Society could then formulate a committee of vanaprastha.
Society can. Okay, this is for next time around. Next time we're going to talk about what needs to be done for actual vanaprastha life to happen in ISKCON. We've talked about what I think is the main thing. There has to be strong Krishna consciousness. There have to be viduras around to say the right things to the right people. But if we talk about practical things that ought to be done in ISKCON to promote vanaprastha ashram, what would they be? That would be one set of questions for tomorrow. And another question might be, assuming ISKCON doesn't have it together, assuming that they'll make a committee and a subcommittee and a adjunct committee and an advisory committee, and they'll have it together within 15 to 20 years, if you are one of these candidates for becoming a vanaprastha, what would you do? What could you do if you were, if you wanted, you're 55, you know, you've stayed 5 years extra, you're 55, you're thinking about, gee, I don't think I should be working for this or that company forever. I don't think I should just be holding down this job and drawing a salary and I'm supporting my family forever. I'm ready for, you know, I've read the books. I'm supposed to be a vanaprastha. Now what do I do? What do you do if you're thinking about, you know, you're mulling this over in your mind. I ought to be a vanaprastha. I think I ought to be a vanaprastha. It says I'm supposed to be a vanaprastha. I'm not supposed to be a grihastha anymore. Something's not right here. I should make a change. What do I do? What would you do? Nope, not now. Tomorrow.
I just have a point about the sannyas question that I posed. In the West, that's the kind of mentality sometimes, you know, many devotees may have.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of my own spiritual master who utilized so many things in Krishna's service. And that one of the ways that I saw him as being a guru is that his dedication, commitment to Srila Prabhupada, and how he utilized those things. Well, what ways did he utilize them?
Yeah, if you look at an example like her spiritual master, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you look at the standard of detachment, you look at the way that he used everything in Krishna's service, you look at the spiritual potency, and you start to think, well, you know, I should be like him. I should go in that direction. I should have that kind of faith in Krishna. I should be You know, that's what I want. I don't want to be like what it looks like I'm going to be. I want to be like what he was. You know, he wasn't one of those sannyasis who sat on his butt and some, you know, on the comfortable banquet circuit and made sure that he had an income and a nice place to stay. He took risks. He put out energy, you know, beyond what would reasonably, the energy a person would reasonably be expected to put out. He, you know, put himself in physical risks. Those countries are nuts. Those African countries that he went to, you know, you're in with the government one day and the next day you were in with that government. And you're in jail or you're in a ditch somewhere with, you know, two arms over there, two legs over there, and a head, you know, 10 miles away. They can do those things to you. Not all, you know, peaches and cream and carnations at the airport. It requires guts. It requires faith. It requires determination. We have those examples. You know, for those who think that sannyas just means, you know, you're just an official guy with a maha plate coming to you every day at one. You know, there's an example that we can look to. Okay, thank you all very much.